Episode 11. We are back, and we are back with two of my favourite people. So we have got Tim and Rhea here from Bar Boy Cocktails. Welcome.
Hello. Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. And it would be so rude for you not to bring some of your wonderful products with you.
Well, we know you like a cocktail, so
I know
bring
it's
some
morning as well. So is it too early to have one this morning, do we think?
Absolutely not. We've actually got a range of breakfast cocktails. Some with grapefruit, some with caffeine, you know, so something for everyone.
Love that. Should we open one?
Yeah, I'm going for the espresso martini.
I think I'm going to have the same. So a little shake?
Yeah, well, the espresso martini, actually, it's a 150ml can, but there's 125ml of liquid, so it's got a little space in it. So it's actually like the cocktail shaker.
Okay.
So if you give it a shake.
Shake it away.
Shake it away.
Always important. Oh. Shake
then
it away.
Crack it open. And then you see that lovely froth.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm
yeah.
definitely having a
good
sip.
Morning.
Good morning. 10 a.m.
It is Friday.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah,
cheers.
Happy Friday.
Oh, yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Absolutely everything with an espresso martini in the morning. So, Bar Boy Cocktails, you guys, I feel as though you're a massive part of our journey for everything that we've done. I can't even remember when we first met. It's been that long that I've known you. Yeah.
Decades.
You?
Yeah. No, it's it like a distant like blur.
Yeah.
Or maybe one big hangover.
All that. And every time you're anywhere at an event and we see you guys, like, we always support what you're doing. But I think let's start with about Bar Boy. How did it start? What was the idea? Where did it come from? We are in the best place in the country, and I can say we are in the Southwest. So, and I know that is a massive part of your brand, but over to you.
Right. Okay. Well, to take you right back to the beginning, I'll try not to go on about this too long, but it started as a New Year's resolution. Not to make cocktails specifically, but to learn to make the perfect margarita in December 2019. So pre-lockdown, pre any of this, we were sat around the kitchen table, we're a husband and wife team, and Rhea asked me the question, what are you going to do for your New Year's resolution? And I was like, well, I'm definitely not going to be running any marathon anytime soon.
Which yeah, most people do the marathon, don't they?
I kind of knew that Tim wasn't that
good. But after a good 20 plus years of not being able to even sniff tequila, I was ready to re-engage with it. And the tequila revolution was kind of well underway, and it was being led by North America. And I'd start to see some really good quality agave spirits coming out of Mexico over to our shores. And so I've been following it and thought, yeah, this is the time. Let's give it a go. So I'd sort of go and try and do a bit of research, find a bottle of tequila or mezcal.
Yeah, and my first reaction when Tim said, I'm going to make margaritas, was, I don't like tequila. And he did say, look me in the eye, and you did say, you've just been drinking the wrong tequila.
I don't like tequila.
You. Okay, well.
Interesting.
Let the education begin.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So every Friday basically became Margarita Friday. And so I would get whatever tequila I bought and perfect my margarita recipe.
Yeah.
And this kind of went on in January and February, and we were slowly getting signs that the world was sort of becoming a bit peculiar.
Yeah.
But we persisted with our Margarita Fridays. And then
was
we were told.
This just at home as
this
well.
This was just at home, just at home, for fun. Yeah.
We've got two kids. Quite often it would be at home because we weren't going out because we didn't.
Were they involved in
No, they were not. They were in bed. But as soon as they went to bed, the margaritas would come out.
It was like our reward. But anyway, we really started to have a margarita every single night when the lockdown happened, because it was quite an intense and sort of strange time. So we were getting lots of practice. And then slowly but surely, we were then told we had to homeschool. So those margarita evenings became margarita lunchtimes.
I mean, it wasn't quite that bad.
It ramped up when we were allowed to go outside and see friends again. And we'd been holed up, you know, doing our daily walks and all this kind of stuff. And we were allowed to see friends outside. And we were just so excited about seeing other human beings that I actually took my whole bar kit down to the back beach in Exmouth, overlooking the River Ex. And it was a gorgeous evening, the most incredible sunset. The water was dead calm. And I shook up margaritas for us and our friends throughout the evening. And we had one hell of a time. It was paradise. It was absolutely brilliant. Until it came to going home. Oh. And the river flooded and the bar kit was floating around everywhere. And it was quite a challenge to gather up all our bits and pieces and navigate our way home after a good few drinks.
Margaritas.
So the next time I had a brainwave, why don't I make it beforehand and then take it down to the beach in a big thermos flask?
Okay.
And that's really where the whole bar boy concept came about. So we did this, poured it all out for our friends. And before we knew it, they were saying, guys, you got to bottle this.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we had other jobs. You know, I ran an event agency. We ran a water sports school on the X. We had no intention of doing anything else, but it was so exciting, the sort of prospect. And we may be getting carried away in the moment. We thought, well, maybe we could just do this as a bit of fun, as a bit of side hustle, and bring a bit of cheer to our local community.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we started the process of investigating how we could start up this little, you know, makeshift business.
Well, when we knew, one of the first things we'd have to get a license to sell alcohol.
Yeah.
So we applied to the local council, and it was going to be a 6-week period to get our house license. And it was basically in 6 weeks that we set up the business, really.
Had you ever set a business up before? Was this like you had? So it was something that you knew a little bit about.
Yeah, so I mean, very different. So only ever service-based businesses. So I actually set up and ran this event agency up in Bristol. You know, it's 25 years at the time. We were operating on a global stage. It was really successful and it's great fun. But this was our first ever dalliance into a product-based business. And let me tell you, it's been quite an education ever since. Am I enjoying it? Are we enjoying it? Do you know what, more than ever, more than doing anything else, but it has so many more challenges than running a service-based business. It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd set up and started your business from scratch before, but the business that I ran, the water ski business, I'd bought into. So it was already an established business when I'd taken over. So I was even more clueless about, you know, the startup phase.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I'd known.
Yeah, if I'd known, would I be here now?
Do you know what, Tim's right. It is probably my favourite job that I've ever done and I absolutely love it. And it's like thrilling, but it's the hardest as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I can so relate to that. And I think it's because it's a hobby and a passion as well. And it's something that you're so invested into. You want it to succeed more than anything, don't you?
Yeah.
So that takes us into, and I don't need to answer this because I'm one of your biggest fans, you know that. Why are your cocktails so unique? Because naturally there are other cocktails on the market. Yeah. But what makes Bar Boy cocktails so unique?
So it's really down to the attention to detail and the quality of the ingredients that we use. And we are so blessed to live in a part of the country, in a part of the world, which is so rich with phenomenal distilleries and producers. And so for us not to take advantage of that, it would be really remiss of us. So we set about building relationships with distilleries, you know, who are on our doorstep, looking at ways we could evolve that relationship with them. Because when we first started, it was a real kind of headache to try and source the various different things. And because we're in the throes of lockdown, it's very challenging trying to find bits and pieces. But there they were.
Yeah.
You know, 10 miles away, 15 miles away, all within easy reach, all willing to do work with us, all ready for a conversation. And then, you know, it wasn't just about the ease of it and that lovely piece of kind of working in the localized economy and the benefits that comes with that. It was just the quality of, like, you know, of the gin. So we partner with Solcombe Gin, for example. The quality that we get from those guys, it's second to none.
It's my favorite gin.
Yeah, and I can't find another product out there that comes even close.
Yeah.
So to be able to use a gin of that standard, which you can drink neat, you know, you can drink in a classic gin martini, but to be able to use that in our cocktails speaks absolute volumes about their willingness to sort of work with us and their trust in us to sort of take their liquid and do good things with it. But also the care that we've put into it to make sure that our customers are getting the very best experience that they possibly can as well.
And also, if we're going to use a really good base spirit like Solcombe Gin, there's no point then adding really bad other ingredients to it, you know? So everything, I think that's sort of like the basis is good, but then we have to follow that through with all the other ingredients we
and
use
and everything
as well.
Else that you put in with it.
And I would also say that our brand, Bar Boy, to us, it holds a lot of our own values as well. Like it is Tim and I in a can, really.
So, and what are they?
Well, the whole concept really of first of all, sort of, you know, sharing a moment with friends. So it's all about, you know, being hospitable. And that comes through with the good quality as well. But that moment for us is sitting on a beach in Devon at sunset after a hard day's work, or you've been water skiing, you've spent a day on the water, you know, doing something to earn that cocktail moment, and then sharing it with friends and that convenience. Like that, that's where it started, on the beach when we went, you know, with those, you know, back in 2020 with friends. And that's what we kind of just continued that through now. So it's just all about that moment, not compromising. If you're going to go to the beach and drink a cocktail at a glorious sunset with friends, don't have rubbish.
Oh, you know, have
something that's really special as well. And so that's why we've just tried to make the cocktails stand up to the moment.
Wherever anybody sees Bar Boy, so we see you at events a lot, we see you out and about a lot, I think you still get that feeling from your brand, and you still get, you know, when at your events, you've got your big boys with you, and you can still feel everything that your brand is, you know, all of those values come through from everywhere you are, which is fantastic.
I think that, you know, we live by the coast. We absolutely embrace the coast. I mean, actually on the drive here, when we were driving over the River X, it is like glass this morning. I mean, we'd have been out water skiing.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's your fault, Kate.
We're going to hopefully go tonight. Friday night, we're going to fit in a quick water ski, I think, before having a margarita. But it is, you know, we're by the coast. So obviously the brand talk, you know, it sort of sings about the coast. But I just think that everything that we put into it, the sustainability is really important as well. So, you know, you live by the coast, we really care a lot about the environment, and you can see your impact, I think, on the environment when you're by the coast. So everything we do, we try and have a sort of nod to sustainability with it as well.
Yeah. And I think that also rings true when, you know, we see you at events in Birmingham, in London, all of those things. And I think that's why people, I stand and I listen. I think I am your biggest fan. I stand and I listen to what people are saying when they come to your stand. And it is that, here is the Southwest in a can or in a bottle. And then that, you know, that's brand story. And if you tell your story, then people get hooked into it. And that is so powerful that, you know, it's novelty a little bit as well, isn't it? You know, if you live in London and someone's bringing you the Southwest to you, you're like, oh, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And, you know, the first challenge is always to get the, as the industry say, it's getting the liquid on the lips. So as soon as we've been able to entice someone to our stand, whether it's a, you know, event, a trade show, whatever it might be, trying the liquids, understanding the provenance and the care that we've gone into, then we've got, that's the first hook. And then secondly, it's when they actually make the purchase. So quite often, you know, we are a Southwest based business. Most of our trade is throughout the Southwest. So it's whether it's in a luxury hotel or in a beach bar, in a food hall or at a festival, people will try our products there and they'll love them, and it'll bring them, you know, it's a great holiday memory as part of it. But then we get that second bite when they're back home. And that's when they can order online. That's when they can go to any of the Westmoreland services on their way home and stock up for the winter or whatever. And so that's really exciting. So we're capturing them with our story and our provenance and all our lovely bits and pieces and the memories of those occasions down by the water. But then we're enabling them to recapture that when they crack open a can or a bottle when they're back in there.
Yeah, it's amazing actually, because on our website, which is not the website we started out with when we built the business in 6 weeks. That was was definitely a lesson learned. It wasn't the best that we started with. But the website now, it does, when people check out, it does prompt you to say sort of, how did you find out about us? And in quite a nice, gentle way, it's like we're a small family business. This information is kind of vital to us. And the number of people that say, I saw you when I was on holiday in Devon or Cornwall, and now they're back in and you can see the postcode is
and they're like
else.
Dropping little so pins all over the map.
Yeah. So that's nice.
Amazing. And so let's talk about, you guys haven't always been into cans, have you? Bar Boy started in bottles, didn't it?
Yeah.
And I actually had you guys at my wedding in France, didn't I? In the bottles. Yeah. And even then, everyone was like, who are these guys? I've never heard of them before. They're amazing. And it is that novelty piece. But just talk a little bit about how you've evolved from that bottled piece into where we are now with the range that you've got now, because that's expanded as well, hasn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, when we first started, it was around the kitchen table. You know, how do we get our cocktails into some kind of vessel to ship it out? And a glass bottle is the kind of obvious choice. We certainly don't want to use plastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that brought its own challenges. You know, we actually sent bottles of water in the glass that we chose and back to ourselves in the first few times we got paper mache.
Oh,
you
know, no.
that packaging doesn't work.
But we persisted with the glass. We could work with it. It was, you know, we could make it in very small volumes.
Yeah.
And it meant that we could get the business off the ground, up and running. And it's been great. And glass still does play an important role in our business.
Great for gifts.
So we do a range of single serve bottles, which are all 100 mil. They're really cute. They look great. They fit in your handbag, Kate, if you need it to. Great as wedding favors, all those kind of things. But we also do a liter bottle as well. And that's really what a lot of our hospitality customers use. You can get up to 10 cocktails out of it. It still looks great behind a bar. You can pour it into a shaker. You can shake your cocktails awake. So you're getting that bit of theater.
Yeah.
And it's really valuable. And it's always going to be part of our lineup. But we really saw that we were missing a major opportunity, not having our cocktails in the cans, because cans not only are really sustainable, recyclable kind of format, they have all sorts of advantages from transport and all the other bits and pieces, but we just really wanted to push into this new market, which open up doors to multiple retailers, to a huge plethora of different opportunities. So we did some research. We were quite gobsmacked by the challenges of it. So to buy our own canning line and to do it correctly was a serious 6 to 7 figure investment, which we could not find love nor money looking under the floorboards and all that kind of stuff. Again, going back to our provenance, we looked around in the West Country and there were a couple of canning partners locally. And so we spoke to them and they said, don't worry, we've got really low minimum order quantities. We're like, that's fantastic. That's exactly what we need here. Yeah, it's 1,000 litres. I'm like, well, that's great if you're dealing with, you know, orange squash or beer. But when you're dealing with, you know, expensive ingredients, 1,000 litres is a huge investment.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we had to put that on pause for quite some time. It was only after we sort of built up the business a bit more, we thought, okay, let's do this. Let's go for it.
So we did, because we were bottling everything and we did move away from the kitchen sink quite quickly into a small little commercial unit, but we're still bottling everything. And it was that, do we make this leap? Kind of like saving up to be able to start canning. But I do remember a conversation and Tim just said, it's just like this brand, our brand is made for cans, because obviously it's all about being on the beach and convenience and out, and glass doesn't work in that. And, you know, the brand was screaming out to be put into a can. We just needed to make it happen, but it took us a bit longer as a sort of self-funded small business from startup to be able to get to that point.
Yeah. And so with money maybe at the forefront of our mind, we looked to the various options out there. We decided on a 200 ml can format, and we brought out 4 cocktails specifically for those cans.
They were
either variations on existing ones or brand new cocktails.
Okay.
And we just thought, this is, because it's a new format, this is probably the way to go. So unwittingly, and maybe unconsciously, we were actually now in possession of 40 SKUs of products, which is way too many. But we were blissfully unaware and pursuing this kind of route. And we got the 4 cans done, and they were really well received. And we got some fantastic sort of traction with them. And it was an absolute minefield to get over that first hurdle of doing that first batch of cans. And we learned so many lessons. But as they were selling through and we were looking at getting reruns done, this ugly nightmare started to unveil itself, where the format, the 200 ml format, was coming really problematic for us to get hold of. There was a lot of wine was going into that size can. There were lots of other cocktails and kombuchas and things like that going into that format. And so the demand was far outstripping supply. The biggest producers were Russia and China, you know, which produced their own kind of challenges. And so we had to kind of take a deep breath and go back to the drawing board. But what it did was present us with a fantastic opportunity to reset our whole portfolio. And so this 40 SKU range that we had, which was kind of confusing people, we managed to totally whittle down. And so now we've got a consistent range of single serve bottles, 1 liter bottles, and 6 cans, which all complement each other, which all intertwine and basically offer our customers the perfect solution no matter what the setting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So obviously I have my favourite. Mm-hmm. And you know what my favourite is. But in terms of your most popular and your bestseller,
what is that? Interestingly, so once we had moved away from the kitchen sink into our next commercial unit, then we did about a year later, we then moved into our current Barboy HQ, which is exactly what we need. So it's got bottle production space, it's got office space, we can do tasting events, it's got warehouse space. But at that time, we had been just running everything off spreadsheets. And then we implemented a new piece of software, which is basically, it's actually designed for breweries, but we have adapted it for cocktails and it works brilliantly. But that gave us all the data that we need. So it's been amazing. I mean, there's a couple of false starts in the sort of implementing it because it's all everything, sales, production. But now you can just clearly see the data, and the best sellers are the margarita and the espresso martini. They're
your favourite, that's where you started, the margarita.
Yeah, there you go.
Interesting, isn't it? And I'm not a margarita girl, so maybe I need to get into them a little bit
more.
Well,
this is the margarita to try.
I'm going to try it.
Because actually really early on as well, when we were still at home, I did, my background is more marketing. I used to work in a PR agency, and I entered it into the Great Taste Awards. This was when we were still operating from home. I sent it off, but it did come back with a 3-star Great Taste Award, which at the time we didn't quite appreciate how amazing that was.
Yeah.
But it definitely gave us the confidence that, hang on, this is a really good margarita.
That Tim's Margarita Fridays are a thing. And
I did it. New Year's resolution.
Yeah, you did. You did make the perfect margarita.
Love it.
Yeah.
So the future of Barboy, obviously, over the last year, it's gone into that sort of cans phase. What does the future hold for Barboy? What a question, but a really interesting one that I don't think I've actually asked you off air, let alone on air.
No.
I mean, I would say to get to this point has been, it has been really hard work, especially, a husband and wife team, 2 children. A life out of work is just as bonkers as in work. And, we've grown this organically from scratch, and there's been mistakes along the way and huge hurdles. So, people are kind of like, wow, it's going really well. Great that people see that, but there's still just all these constant challenges that we're picking up. So I feel that at the moment we're at a point where actually we are almost operating like a proper business for the first time.
It does feel like it for the first
but there's
time.
But it's like, okay, actually, we've got a place. This is happening. This is going as we kind of hope it will. But we do. The strategy going forwards is very much in conversation at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't got outside investment. There's some players out there, they've been able to sort of amplify their brand, so much quicker than we would ever be able to as a self-funded kind of family business. But we're really proud of growing organically. We're really proud of actually bedding in our roots, our provenance, our care for the West Country and growing out from there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Making the Southwest our absolute kind of home fortress, and then step by step spreading along the South Coast, spreading along geographically around to the rest of the UK. We've got a foothold in the Cotswolds. Randomly, we've got sort of tentacles going into Scotland now as well.
Wow.
We haven't really hit the London market yet, so there's loads of stuff to do within the UK first before we start to look beyond that. And we often get requests by various people from the DIT to sort of like, have you thought about export? Love to talk about export, but let's get the basics right first.
Yeah.
And there's obviously the various channels that we need to sort of master as well. So we have got our first regional listing with Co-op, which is really exciting. 94 Co-ops for our margarita, 64 for our pineapple daiquiri. And we're kind of on the start of that kind of journey, and that's really exciting. But we know we can't rely on any single channel. So having that broad mix of wholesalers, multiples, direct to trade and direct to consumer,
yeah,
is going to be fundamental to making sure that we're growing.
Yeah, and a really good mix of all of them.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, different times of the year, different ones perform
at different times. Yeah.
There's such an opportunity. We've barely scratched the surface of any of them, and we got to this point. Like, I feel like this is actually when it's getting really exciting.
Yeah,
because there's so much more. There's so much more opportunity online that we've talked about. But also with retail, with events, with selling directly to the trade. It's just and it is growing at the moment. So it does feel exciting.
Yeah. And just thinking about learnings. Okay, so I love it when I don't love it when I make a mistake, but I love learning from mistakes because I think that always makes you stronger and makes the journey a bit more exciting, doesn't it? But thinking about learnings from starting Barboy to where you are now. What's the biggest learner that you've had? Because most of our clients that will be listening to this and our audience as well will be in a very similar position to you. And I think those learners are so useful to share because they are things that everybody goes through and everybody gets to that point and goes, oh, you know, I've grown online and I've done this, or I've done this with my product, my packaging, and it's implemented this. So what is the biggest learner?
Gosh.
Tough question.
It is. I mean, you know, don't be afraid to learn as you go. I mean, and you know, I think we all want to set out with the perfect product and the perfect strategy, but in reality, you know, very few people manage to achieve that.
Yeah.
So roll up your sleeves, get on with it. You know, that's the first challenge, and be prepared to accept the mistakes that you do make along the way, whether it's branding, the packaging, the, you know, everything can evolve, everything can change, but do it step by step. Don't go too big too soon.
I think that's actually really key, is patience.
Yeah.
Like both Tim and I, we're quite impatient people. And then
I can imagine the conversations that happen.
But I think the patience, and then also cutting out the noise around you.
Yeah.
Kind of stay in your channel, like think about what's Barboy doing. That's what's important, and do it at our pace. Don't get sort of distracted by, oh gosh, we should be doing this, or this should be happening faster. Actually, if you kind of, we were writing it down for something the other day, I can't think what, but some milestones along the way. And we have, every year there's been progress, there's been achieved thing. It's just not, you know, it's not as fast as maybe you'd want all the time. But if you cut out all the noise and just kind of go in your channel, then actually it makes it much easier.
Yeah.
And people from the outside, they think it's just, you know, this lovely kind of straight line growth going upwards and upwards and upwards, whereas reality, it's like a tidal wave. You know, it's like, you know, highs and lows and everything between. And there's been days, you know, we go, what are we doing? Like, this is crazy.
Should we just give it up and go back to the full-time day job?
Genuinely, like, you know, it's a thirsty cash monster building a product-based brand. And it's relentless, you know, and the more you grow, the more you need to feed it. And so, you know, it's like, that's such a challenge, like just the financial side.
Yeah.
But the rewards, you know, when you, and it's not just the Montreals, but the rewards when you start to see the growth and the satisfaction and the awareness building. And it's great, you know, it's great when you just see your community out there, you know, growing and growing and growing, and these kind of, you know, unprompted brand fans out there.
They're called sneezers.
Okay.
Sneezers. So Kathy from Boundless, who's been on our podcast, she came in and she was talking all about sneezers. So if you're a sneezer, you become a brand advocate and a brand fan.
Yeah.
But because they've, you know, they are a sneezer, they then go and they share it to their friends and their family, and then they become a sneezer, and it just keeps passing on. And that really stuck with me because I thought, I love that term. I love it.
Actually, that's interesting. So because you know, the growth is all consuming, and with cash flow as well, the marketing budgets aren't, we don't have these huge pots of marketing budgets. So we have had to be quite creative with it over the last couple of years. And one of the things we have done is set up a Coastal Sippers, which is basically our brand ambassadors, if you like. And we recruited them. I put out an advert on, you know, online, just saying we're recruiting, apply here. It's obviously not a paid role. It's just for people. They get sent, you know, free cocktails every so often, review them and shout about it to their friends. But the response we got was amazing. And people that we didn't know just like champion, you know, filling in this form saying how much they absolutely love Barra Boy and what
they
think.
Why didn't I fill it in?
No, why didn't you? But then we, you know, we did some, actually it was over, you know, Zoom, but once we had this sort of small group of people, we sent them all a margarita in the post. We all met online and you know, sipped it together. Tim told them, you know, the margarita story about how it started. And then, you know, I get messages on WhatsApp or Instagram, people saying, oh, I saw you here, I've sent a photo here. I was telling my friend about here. Have you thought about this? It's amazing. But these people that I didn't even know before that are now like these huge ambassadors and
so if
and
you take that out of the Southwest and you, you know, Coastal Sippers goes UK-wide, national, how from a brand perspective, can you recreate the moment of sitting by the sea with the drink in the Southwest, looking over the river, you know, the River X, and you might be in London or whatever that might be. And I think that's where your brand is so good at what it does, because when you look at it, you even get that feel, or I get the feel, maybe because I can visualize it. But I think that sort of content piece you guys do really, really well of connecting the dots of this is our brand, this is what the, this is what it stands for, with all of those lovely images that
I
you
post.
I think
it's just thinking about also all the touch points. So in... when you shop online and you can send a box, you can add a gift note. Now, the gift note is we collaborated with a local artist, Ella Slade, who's in Exmouth, and she has the most amazing paintings. But she did a painting that is basically the sunset of the beach that we, you know, sat on looking down the River X when Tim sort of first took his bar to the beach. And we've now worked with her and we've put that into a gift card. So that's our gift note. So even when you're sort of opening the box, there's this touch point of this amazing Devon sunset. And I think we just try and follow through and think, you know, Tim's previous experience working with a lot of drinks brands in the events industry is all about those touch points and consistency and just being really consistent.
Yeah.
So when we go to events and you see us, the stand looks the same all the time. And it's just, we've kind of really tried to make sure that people have that visual identity with Barra Boy and can get the coast from it. So when they have their Barra Boy moment, they are transported to it.
Yeah, and they could just visualize it. I need to remember that next time I open a tin on a Friday night. So seasonality then. So thinking about summer, Christmas, do you see seasonality for Barra Boy? Like, what does that look like?
We do. So, I mean... really from Easter through to now, so September, it's all guns blazing, you know, sun's out, cocktails are out.
Yeah.
And so we do a huge amount with the, specifically with the on-trade, I say more than retail.
Yeah.
And it's busy, you know, it's people wanting to relax and have a great time. And that's great. It's great kind of revenue drivers. So that Q1 for us is whilst people are, you know, doing this silly thing called Dry January and February, they're just slowly waking up. I mean, it's very frustrating. However, we can actually use that time really, really well. And so we're going out and seeing all of our wholesale partners and our trade partners. And it's great. And it gives us that kind of momentum sort of going forward. And of course, we do the Farm Shop and Deli show, which is always around Easter time. And that's a great touch point to actually start those conversations, dare I say it, about Q4.
Yeah.
And so as we're now coming to the end of the sort of the seasonal hospitality time, we're pushing on with, okay, Q4. Now, you know, we should have done lots of things before now.
I know, every year in December, I say, right, in January, I'm going to plan the next Q4, but it never quite happens. Yeah.
So we're September.
We're September and we are all in. All in.
I think we have this conversation every year, don't we? Are we ready?
Yeah. So as we prepare to create yet another miracle in time for all of the demand from you know, the festive hospitality trade, from the festive retail side, and then events as well. So we do things like the Extra Christmas Market. We've doubled up this year, so we've got a large chalet at the Christmas Market this year.
Can't wait to see that. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun. And we've got loads of other sort of activations sort of happening, promotions. So, yeah.
So is this where you don't see each other now for the next sort of 3 months because you're all in different places doing
it? If we're lucky,
It is passing ships. And then it gets to like the 23rd of December. And actually, the last 2 years, we've gone out for a really nice family lunch on Christmas Eve. And that's like the goal. Let's get to that point.
We're actually drinking Aperol Spritz overlooking the water. It was lovely.
I don't think I'll ever forget seeing you at the Christmas Market when there was snow and you were both stood there and you're like, I'm freezing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we've nearly done it because I think that was a couple of days just before it closed, wasn't it? And you were like, we've nearly done the year.
It's a funny one because it is intense, the Christmas market.
Yeah.
And I think I was maybe a bit like, is it just doing a market? You know, what's the benefits of it? But it's good sales, really good sales. But it's huge brand building as well.
Yeah.
And we still will have people all the time on our website saying, well, how did you hear about us? Extra Christmas market.
Amazing.
And it has really helped with growing in the Southwest.
Yeah, for sure. And so for my background with in effect creating brand activations for major, major brands like Moët Hennessy, one of our big customers, you know, they would be throwing 50, 100, 200,000 pounds at different types of activations and things to come back to basics.
Yeah.
We really had to see how and look at how we could maximize the return on very, very, very little budget and being able to work at some of these events like the Christmas market. We got a month with a captive audience of well over 500,000 people coming through. I mean, how many opportunities do you get to do that? Very few. You know, we've got the Dartmouth Food Festival in October. That's probably one of our favourite events of the year.
I think that's my favourite event. Yeah. It's one of my favourite events.
Really and good. Just getting those touch points and the community that's down there and the amount of people it brings down from London, for example. And we met a potential phenomenal customer who looks after venues throughout the UK that's potentially interested in the cocktails.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never quite know where you're going to create opportunities.
Yeah.
And whether it's an individual buying from you, you know, learning the story and then going online, or whether it's a potential trade customer that's then going to be a lifelong partner, it's capturing those moments.
Yeah.
I think that helps with sort of ironing out the seasonality, because it is really summer and Christmas are just really busy periods for us. Christmas, I'd say, so summer, I'd say more for on trade and hospitality, and Christmas is with consumer. It just goes really nuts. And the last 2 years, we have stock has been an issue. By the end, like mid to end of December, we're sort of getting really low. And of course, you don't want a warehouse full of stock in January.
No.
But this year, I feel like we're going into it quite well placed. We've got a plan.
We're better prepared than we ever have been.
I would say that. But also having events and having lots of different channels does mean that we can iron out that seasonality. Because actually, for example, hotels are really busy in January and February.
Yeah.
People going away after Christmas, New Year, little breaks. You know, if we're supplying a hotel, then they're taking our cocktails all year round. So I think just going back to that seasonality question, having these different channels that we're selling to helps.
Yeah. And obviously we sit in the digital space. So I'm always talking to you guys about, you know, what's happening online? What's going on with the website?
Yeah.
What's happening on socials and with email and all of that stuff? And I think from today, what you guys are saying is every channel is just as important, whether that's trade,
absolutely,
whether that's consumer, whether that's digital, whether that's print, whether that's in the box, you know, printed with your postcards, which, by the way, my little 7-year-old loves her postcard that you gave her. And it's like you say, it's all those touch points, but it's linking all of those touch points together.
And with online and email marketing, I mean, you sort of helped me sort of set up the basics, which was great. But I feel like I'm still learning all the time, and there's so much opportunity there. But you'll be so proud of my recent flows that I've been setting up. And
I get your emails, and I just feel so happy because it says from Tim and Rhea, and I'm like, oh, they listen. I feel as though you're talking directly to me, which again goes back to your brand values, which is so important. So keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
It's working. Progress, but it is that does make a big difference.
Yeah,
I mean, the hardest thing really is having time, because I think both of us do about 6 jobs each. So I mean, if I could dedicate, you know, all my time to setting up for Q4 and, you know, email marketing, it would be amazing. But it doesn't quite work like that.
No, not when you run a business. So one thing that you do differently, if you started Barboy again, what would you do? What a question. I'm literally wheeling through them today.
Well, I suspect Rhea would say it. Different business partner.
Do you know, that's actually funny, because people say, well, how do you work together? I actually think we work very well together, and we both bring different things to the party. I think the most frustrating thing about working with Tim is
actually my question.
No, it isn't, but I'm just going to bring it out here. He never makes lunch, so I normally I'm starting to get hangry, and I'm thinking, when's lunch coming in? I think I'll wait until Tim suggests it. I'll wait until he never brings it up, and then I say, I think I was to myself, I'll just go and get some lunch. And then I think I can't not ask him because we lived together. So I'm like, would you like some lunch? Oh, yes, please.
And this is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something.
I mean, I've never had lunch so good.
Yeah, exactly. So every day I end up making lunch. But business partner, no, I would keep you actually.
Yeah.
I think it would be amazing to have started the business with the range of products that we have and the website we have now. That would have been a complete game changer.
Yeah.
However, it is lessons learned. And as we've gone along, it has been quite a journey to this point. So I don't know. Maybe I think if I'd known how much hard work it was, that might have put me off a bit more.
But, yeah.
I think really, I mean, we've seen such great traction with this new range of cans that it would have been great to have been able to have afforded to be able to do that much sooner. So, you know, should we have got ourselves a bit better funded from the offset? But then it's such a huge unknown that actually it would have been a real risk. I mean, now it's still a risk, but not quite. It wouldn't be at the same level as it is there.
Because you've got sneezes now.
Yeah. Got sneezes. And yeah, you know, like it still feels like we're just getting going. You know, we're just over 4 years in, but this is, we're now at the exciting time. You know, it feels like we've done a lot of the hard work. Yeah. We've shed a lot of the tears. We're ready to dust ourselves off and start pushing to this next phase of our growth throughout the Southwest and kind of beyond.
So you guys are obviously across all of these channels, but where can I go into a store and where can I buy a Bar Boy cocktail if I am local and then if I'm national?
Good question. Well, I think locally, I mean, there are lots of independent farm shops and deli, you know, Greendale, Darts Farm, places like that, locally in your doorstep. But co-op's a good place to start, especially with the margarita in the Southwest. So, all of Devon, quite a few in Cornwall, Somerset and Dorset.
And when you do, take a picture and post it on socials? If someone buys
absolutely.
One, that'd be great.
Bar Boy out in the wild.
Yeah.
But the best way online is actually all of our orders online have free delivery nationwide.
There you go.
So it's very quick delivery. So you can order next day, shipped 24 hour. And you have cocktails arrive at your door.
For a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, the exact ones that you want.
There you go. So really easy to buy. If nobody has tasted Bar Boy before, whoever's listening in our audience, please go and taste them. I'm a massive brand advocate. I'm a sneezer. Mm-hmm. Everybody I see, I tell them about you. My whole wedding party were like, they are the best cocktails we have ever tasted. But thank you so much for joining, because I think your story around starting it with a New Year's resolution into this fantastic product and brand, and from my point of view, watching you guys grow this business is so exciting. And I feel so proud watching you. So well done as well, because I know how hard it is to start a business and you're still doing it. You're still smiling and you're still growing a range, which is just fantastic. So 2026, here we come once we've got Christmas out the way.
Bring it on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Kate, thanks for playing your part in it and for being one of our brand champions. Yes, you know, it really means a lot. I mean, it's great to get that encouragement as we go on our journey. And I think we all need to support each other. Particularly at the moment, you know, it's an interesting economic time.
Yeah.
And I think there's some phenomenal businesses out there that really need to be sort of, you know, championed.
I will forever be drinking your Coastal Plymouth. Don't worry, it's fine.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for joining
me.
And subscribe, like, share. We would love to have more people like Tim and Ria on. So any suggestions, please let us know. And thank you.
Thank you.